Breaking news today on Seculo as more Democrats to follow RFK Jr.'s lead.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, welcome to Seculo. It is a big Monday. We're taking your calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. In light of the RFK news and the endorsement on Friday, which, you know, we talked about a lot last week, the build up to that endorsement, Will, we have more, even our own colleagues here, who are going to officially endorse President Trump, and today it's our colleague Tulsi Gabbard.
That's right. So CNN had an intriguing headline to me, because you can tell that the headline writers over at CNN haven't watched any interview she's done on Fox, really been on this show, or any of the media that Tulsi has put out over really the last 6 months, right, since she wrote her book, even For the Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. But the headline is, Tulsi Gabbard expected to endorse Trump today at Detroit event. I think maybe she'll use the words official, like, I endorse Donald Trump for president, but everything she's been saying has even said, like, I am going to do everything I can to work to get him reelected, in her private interviews that she does on Fox and things of that nature. But this one isn't as surprising. What will be surprising is to see if others follow suit. And RFK hinted at that over the weekend.
Yes.
That there would be more Democrats to follow. So it sets up an interesting time for the Democrats, as they just came off their what they thought was a huge victorious DNC, where they made it look like they are inevitable at winning in this election cycle.
Everybody loves Harris.
Exactly. They completely changed history of what they've done for the last 3.5 years. And then on Friday, they had an announcement by RFK Jr., which completely wiped them off the media.
It was a turning point event, and there was, like, There was explosions happening.
There was pyro. They walked out to the Foo Fighters' "There Goes My Hero" when he joined Trump on stage.
And what they're calling this is a unity kind of ticket? Not ticket.
Unity government is
the
term
government,
that they're using.
Right, because the ticket is still Trump advance, which is still very Republican. But there's going to be a unity government of advisors. And I think today, you know, making Tulsi officially part of the team is probably what's happening. It was already reported that she was advising President Trump on issues for the debate prep. There's now issues about whether the debate is even going to move forward, because now the Harris campaign says, nope, we want live mics. We didn't like those facts that the mics actually shut off, because we need mics that Donald Trump could try to keep cutting us off, or we could cut off Donald Trump and go back and forth. And we think that would actually hurt Trump and help Harris. So there's an issue there. I think there's still a big question about whether or not we even get a single actual presidential debate, because the one we did get didn't really count. All that did was knock officially Joe Biden out of the race. So President Trump just doing too good of a job there. And now, you know, if you're Harris and you're not going to do interviews, if the media is not going to kill you over that, why do a debate?
Yes, and I think that's kind of the question. The big question here is the Harris campaign trying to change the rules of the debate now to try and force Donald Trump to say, well, you're not agreeing to the rules we had agreed upon, so we're not going to do it? They're trying to almost force his hand so that they don't have to look like the ones pulling out of the debate. But the strategy really does appear that it's that team that is concerned or nervous about debating President Trump.
So we will talk about more Democrat supporters for President Trump. We're going to talk about the debate. We've got an ACLJ victory to announce. This is all just in the first half hour of the broadcast. And let me encourage you, with Israel, as you saw over the weekend with Hezbollah, and thankfully that was thwarted very well by Israel, the United States, and its allies. But Israel on the brink of expanding war with Hezbollah in Lebanon, we need your support now more than ever. With our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, double the impact of your support with our Life and Liberty Challenge. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We are behind. We need your financial support today. at Tech Tech. Yeah, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. This is an interesting note. And I think, again, I'm excited to see our friend Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, update you there. She posted publicly, so I'm not trying to share anything as her attorney that she is not ready to share yet. But she got the Quad S designation yet again on her travel document. She was at CPAC in Mexico City, and the flight back to Washington got the Quad S designation. She's going to be traveling again today because she's making this, it looks like, a formal endorsement with President Trump. Is that later today?
It's later in the day, yeah.
Later in the day today.
President Trump was in Virginia this morning at a wreath-laying ceremony for the 13 soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan. Yep. Today is that three-year anniversary of that failed withdrawal and then the attack at the airport in which 13 of our service members were killed by ISIS-K, the terrorists there.
Yeah, they caught the soldiers that were killed at Abbey Gate at that airport. I think it's important that President Trump is doing that. I think it's important that Tulsi, I guess, making it official. She was already very much, you know, supporting President Trump's at least reelection for this cycle, you know, on our show. And I guess now making it official. But RFK Jr., and this is what's interesting, and I'll take your calls on it too, 1-800-684-3110, because he says he's got more. And it's not just Tulsi. It's not just him. Take a listen.
President Trump is going to make a series of announcements about other Democrats who are joining his campaign. And, I want to make America healthy again, and so does President Trump.
You know, it's interesting. He's kind of seized on that, Will, is MAHA.
MAHA, make America healthy again.
Yeah, but he also defended MAGA. In a Twitter post, RFK Jr. wrote what MAGA really means. He says, the phrase has troubled liberals who think it is a call to return to an America before civil rights or gay rights or women's rights. But I have a more generous interpretation, one that's truer to my experience of Donald Trump as he is today. Make America Great Again recalls a nation brimming with vitality, with a can-do spirit, a hope and a belief in itself. It was an America that was beginning to confront its darker shadows, could acknowledge the injustice in its past and present, yet at the same time could celebrate its successes. It was a nation of broad prosperity, the world's most vibrant middle class, and an idealistic belief, though not consistently applied, in freedom, justice, and democracy. It was a nation that led the world in innovation, productivity, and technology, and it was the healthiest country in the world. I've talked to many Trump supporters. I've talked with his inner circle. I've talked to the man himself. This is the America they want to restore. And I think eloquently, Will, this is finally an explanation of MAGA that many of us have been like, this is what Make America Great Again is about. It's just about, it's not about taking us back to 1955. That's not making America great again. It's about moving forward and people being successful and not being afraid to confront the wrongs of the past, of course not, but not just blaming America for those wrongs, getting past the wrongs.
That's right. And as you said, that was eloquently put by RFK Jr. in that post. And it's what I do feel that President Trump himself, because of the attacks against him and really his speaking style, is not a way that he could voice that himself in those type of terms that would feel genuine from him.
Yeah, if he said that, it would come across that way.
And I feel like that's why RFK Jr. will be a powerful surrogate in this race, because he's able to say things like that and be eloquent in a way that President Trump is more in your face, a little bit more brash in his duke it out fighting style, that it helps because people read that and it resonates with them. Oh, that is what I want for the country. I do want to make America great in a way that is in line with what he's saying in that post.
And what I want to know, and I think we will start to see if there's Tulsi and then you've got RFK Jr., is, you know, how much will these people be out officially for the campaign?
Right.
Sounds like they're going to do plenty of media, and that's wonderful. But how much will they officially be doing campaign events, getting voters out to actually cast votes for Donald Trump in the 10 or less states that are going to determine the outcome of this election? Because that's where I think their time is really most valuable. I mean, it's great to have RFK, you know, make the big splash in Arizona. It's great to have Tulsi do the big splash in Detroit. But ultimately what you want is them actually on the campaign trail and kind of speaking to their constituency, which is a constituency that I think is okay with President Trump, but certainly is more excited with President Trump if someone like Tulsi or RFK is kind of pulling across the final few yards to actually cast the vote.
Well, and here's also the scary part, and it goes back to the work of the ACLJ as far as protections of Americans' civil liberties. And when you think about the Quiet Skies program, it was interesting that before the RFK announcement, it seemed like we had maybe gotten administratively resolved of her being on the Quiet Skies list. But all of a sudden, now that the world turns a little bit and it gets a little bit more dangerous for the administration, all of a sudden she's got this Quad S designation again, which would infer that she's probably back on the Quiet Skies watch list. Now, we're not going to stop fighting for her and every American that has that kind of abuse labeled against them. We know that this program has not led to a single arrest or foiled a single plot. It's just a tool for TSA to spy on Americans.
12, and it hasn't led to a single arrest.
And they're intimidating Americans. They're spying on Americans, using the heavy hand of government against them. Now that we have this announcement that she's going to make this endorsement, I feel like it could be even more aggressive. We also know that RFK, he's suspended his campaign, so he's lost his Secret Service protection. Now, that's a normal course of business when you suspend your campaign. You're no longer...
Secret Service.
He did. He did after the assassination attempt on Trump. They finally gave what he'd been asking for months, but also that puts him in a little bit more dangerous position going out on the road, knowing that, one, there's already been an assassination attempt in this presidential election race.
Another person out in Arizona.
In Arizona, and we know that he has had many death threats against him, RFK Jr. has. So it's a dangerous time. The government,
because of endorsing President Trump, even?
Well, I don't know that we know how that's going to play out yet, but we know that even before he was having break-ins at his home, he's had death threats. That's why he was calling for one of their big campaign expenditures, besides ballot access, was security for him, because they wouldn't give him Secret Service protection. So you're seeing the arms of government in interfering with surrogates for President Trump, as well as interfering with the campaign of RFK Jr. the entire time. That was one of his big problems with the Democrat Party, was the lawsuits and the lawfare they were waging against both him and President Trump.
We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Do you want to see more of these Democrats endorse President Trump officially, like you've seen RFK? Now, in Tulsi's situation, that is a former Democrat. She wants to make that clear to everyone. She has left the Democrat Party. She's not trying to remain within the Democrat Party. Let me go to the phones, though. If you have a question for us, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And if you were President Trump and they're trying to change the debate rules now, how important is it for you to try and get that debate done with Harris, or do you just ignore it, move on, and do your thing on the campaign trail? Let's go to Jim in Kansas on line one. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jim.
I have a comment. I live here in an area that's divided between Democrats and Republicans, and the independents that I've talked to since Kennedy has made this endorsement said they'll either vote for Trump or there'll be a no vote at all.
Well, I think, listen, that's huge for President Trump. I mean, it's always better to get people's votes, because Harris and Wallace will get votes. But, I mean, Will, if people are saying, I'll either vote for Trump because of the RFK endorsement, or I'm not going to get involved at all, I mean, you are taking Harris votes off the table.
That's right. And when you look at that kind of 5% that he'd been polling at, and sometimes even a few percentage points higher in swing states, if people are going to actively still go vote for President Trump, that's a net positive. But then it's also a net positive if they stay home, because that means they probably were leaning towards a Harris vote as opposed to a Trump vote. But if they're just disenfranchised or they feel disengaged from the process now, then that does show that there's a double benefit to this endorsement in this way that President Trump, that when RFK Jr. has dropped out.
Yeah, again, folks, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Will, I mean, are there any Democrats that come to mind for you? Do you think it's going to be Democrats that we really know of, or do you think it's going to be kind of unnamed Democrats that start coming on to the Trump team because they will be following RFK or they'll be following, you know, Tulsi?
Yeah, off the top of my head, maybe someone like Dennis Kucinich, who was a prominent Democrat, ran for president, but has kind of, you know, now he's older, but more libertarian. I'm not certain other than that who comes to mind, which could make it more surprising if there is a series of these, as RFK Jr. has inferred in that interview on Fox News Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. And he, you know, I mean, that could be that that's going to be not all of those are necessarily elected officials, that you could be a prominent Democrat donor. You can be a prominent Democrat, someone who's voted Democrat your whole life. Support the work of the ACLJ. This is one thing I know we need now. We are behind financially. Final week of the month as we go into September. We need you to make the donations and double. So I wanted to update you again. If you're watching that update with Ben Sisney, with Tulsi Gabbard, and she, again, will be making that official, I guess, endorsement today of President Trump, though she's been very clear on this broadcast. She supports the Trump ticket this election cycle, even before J.D. Vance was selected, that she's left the Democrat Party, I guess, making it official with the Trump team today. She's been assisting with some of the debate prep as well. But yesterday, you might have seen on her social media, and of course she shared with us, that she was flying out of a CPAC event and heading back to the United States, and got that Quad S designation yet again when she was told by TSA and DHS that she was being removed from that list, even got a redress number to utilize. And I asked her, I said, did you try and use that redress number? Yes. Did it work? No. She had more travel today, so we'll keep you updated there. We're going to update as well, of course, Jim Jordan and his committee, which is looking into this, because every time it looks like the federal government is saying that they are done and they are sorry and that she was wrongfully on the list, before she even has time to even check once, the next flight she's on, it's right back to the same thing. So it's like they're just pushing her, you know, down the road, you know, a couple days later. And what they do know is that Tulsi is going to talk about it. You know, she's going to show that ticket, which she did. And we told people, if you regularly fly, are conservatively active, and get that Quad S designation regularly, you need to contact us at aclj.org/help. You need to remember to support the ACLJ financially. This is a way we're able to assist Tulsi, both on the FOIA front, but also on the litigation front, because of her civil liberties and her constitutional rights that are coming and being violated by this program. So support the work of the ACLJ. As an ACLJ colleague, she doesn't have to go and find another law firm to do this work for her. Her colleagues are ready to do it for her. But of course, we need that financial support to make sure we've got the team ready. We've got the experts ready as well to do all the research they need to do. And it's why you go to aclj.org right now during our Life and Liberty campaign and make a donation. Doubles the impact of your donation, a $50 donation at aclj.org. That's like $100 to the ACLJ. So I want you to make that donation today if you can. If you do $25, if you can do $15, all important. And we've got an ACLJ victory to announce right now. Let me go to CeCe Howe, because CeCe, this was a victory. It took less than a month and it had a really good outcome.
Yeah, it did. We had a client that was a forklift operator for a major pet food manufacturing company. And he had worked overnights for a long period of time and decided that was just really rough on him, and he wanted to transfer to do daytime. And when he transferred to a daytime shift as a forklift operator, all of a sudden he had to work a Friday through Sunday shift every other weekend. So he was not able to go to church every other weekend. And he asked, because Title VII requires that you accommodate religious practices, he asked to be swapped. He asked to work another position, or he asked to work another day. And the company said no to all of those requests. Now, the problem with that, like I said, Title VII requires employers to accommodate their employees' religious practices unless it would provide an undue burden. And the Supreme Court just recently stated that that undue hardship, that undue burden to the employer exists only where the request substantially interferes with the operations of the employer and or results in excessive costs. It does not include temporary costs, voluntary shift swapping, occasional shift swapping, or administrative costs. So we absolutely sent off a letter, a demand letter, immediately telling the company that they had to accommodate, do this accommodation for our client to be able to go to church and not use part-time off and not be forced to violate his religious beliefs and practices by not going to church on Sunday. And I'm happy to say, just like you said, it didn't even take a month. And now the company offered our client a new position with a pay raise, a position that he does not have to work on Sundays. So he is free to go to church. And not only does he have a new position, but he also got a pay raise. So this is indeed a victory. And it shows how the ACLJ can get involved and resolve these issues very quickly, but we can only do so with the help of our supporters.
We urgently need your support. We have less than 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Challenge. Again, it's the final week to have your gift doubled at ACLJ.org. We also just filed a major lawsuit against the government and the abortion industry that are smearing pro-life centers. You know about this victory for this employee. And again, if you feel like you need that kind of assistance, you go to aclj.org/help and we will assist you as well. You know, with the issues involving Israel and Hezbollah's attack over the weekend, Israel was able to, working with the U.S., able to neutralize that attack. We've also got, of course, FOIA requests that are already that have already gone into the federal government on behalf of the targeting of Tulsi Gabbard. We are working on a lawsuit as well. And as Cece said, we are winning religious liberty cases, and remind you that those court cases at the ACLJ, you know, we can win in less than a month. So donate to the ACLJ. You've got 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. This is the time to double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. You can also go to aclj.org/life and liberty. Will, do you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to Cambria, calling on line two from Utah. Cambria, you're on Seculo.
Hey, Cambria.
Hi. My comment is this. I believe the real deeper root issue of the attack on Tulsi and on President Trump is because they want to remove any resemblance or any reflection of Jesus and God in our country. That's the real battle.
You know,
communism is anti-God.
I think the battle is free speech. And as we always say at the ACLJ, you know, a country has the freedom of speech, and Cece, this is kind of core for us, a country that has real religious freedom typically has also true religious, yeah, true free speech.
That's absolutely right. And what I always say too is, you know, we talk about the First Amendment rights, but the truth is those rights are God-given rights that the First Amendment protects. And so the caller's absolutely right. It is a spiritual thing, and trying to take away freedom of speech is a God-given right, and one we need to fight and battle, and the ACLJ does.
You know what? That is what we do, folks, daily at the American Center for Law and Justice. And there's so many cases like that, but this is one we can, again, just remind you of, that not only has our client here been vindicated and will be able to worship on the day of their choice, they have gotten a raise in their job. They've gotten a raise. They've gotten a boost to their job. So you've actually see this person's improving, not just their faith, but even the company saying, you know what, this is a great employee. We need to give them a raise. We need to change their position. And I think that's just awesome at the ACLJ that we're able to do that in less than a month for those who support us and for those who need our legal assistance. And remember, when it comes to all of that, there's no charge at the ACLJ. As Logan often says in this broadcast, we're not hiding this behind a paywall. We want this to get out to as many people as possible, so we put it up as many places as we can. We are encouraging you right now during our Life and Liberty Challenge. Listen, we are behind. We know it's a wild month. People are going back to school. You've got the holiday coming up this weekend. So these final 5 days are so crucial to the American Center for Law and Justice. Make your donation today. Double the impact of that donation. Your $25 donation is like $50 for the ACLJ, but we need you to make that donation today at aclj.org. You can double the impact of your donation. aclj.org. We need your financial support. We're running behind for this month. 5 days left. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. So our colleague, Tulsi Gabbard, she will be formally endorsing President Trump later today. It looks like that will be in Detroit, Michigan. She has been on this broadcast a number of times saying she has left the Democrat Party, and she wants to get President Trump elected this cycle, since she would serve in administration, but I think wants to make it, you know, formal today so that those who support her, who might not follow her in this new world that she's on in the conservative world or broadcast like ours, understand that she is endorsing and that endorsement is being accepted by President Donald Trump. So that will be happening later today. She's assisting in debate prep as well. And that's very cool because that's one of our colleagues here at the American Center for Law and Justice, a colleague that you are able to make happen because of your financial support of the ACLJ. And we encourage you again, 5 days left. 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Challenge. We are behind. This is a tough month financially for the ACLJ, always is, because you've got the end of the summer, the beginning of the school year, people are distracted, you got the general election. We need your financial support today, now more than ever, and you can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
And I also want to say we have a large audience today on YouTube, and we know that many times it's not just subscribers that are getting this broadcast. So if you're not a subscriber, I encourage you, if you want to see this show, we do it 5 days a week. We're live at noon Eastern time on YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your media. When we're not behind a paywall, we put this production on, this broadcast, to bring you news, updates on the ACLJ work, analysis of foreign affairs, as well as domestic affairs, 5 days a week. Go ahead and subscribe if you're watching. But also, I want to hear from you. We heard that RFK Jr. said there's going to be a series of announcements of Democrats that are saying they're throwing their support behind this unity government idea, this support behind President Trump's campaign. Who do you think it's going to be? We know Tulsi is going to be one today. That one's not as big as of a surprise. But no. If there is a series of these, who do you think it could be? Go ahead and leave that comment, and we'll get to some of them as we go throughout this broadcast. But once again, subscribe if you're not, and go ahead and hit a thumbs up. That really helps get the program out. It gets served to more people when you engage with it as well and not just listen.
If you want to call us as well, you can make that call at 1-800-684-3110. The media is trying to tell you RFK won't matter. The pollsters are telling you it certainly could. It depends on how much he's able to keep his block together and then deliver them for Donald Trump. He doesn't have to deliver all of that block, but if it's just 2% of the 5% you were talking about, that could be significant enough to turn multiple states in the country that are battleground states and important Donald Trump's re-election. Will, you want to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take Wilson calling from Ohio on line one. Wilson, you're on Seculo.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much. I like the idea of quiet skies when I travel. I've not agreed with Tulsi Gabbard on everything that she said in her past, but quiet skies sounds like a great program for traveling. How do I volunteer to get on Quiet Skies when I'm traveling? So, can people volunteer to get this program? This would be great, I think, to quiet our skies.
No, you can only get on this program if you are suspected of having a link to a terrorist or a known terrorist or someone they believe to be a terrorist, but they yet have not been able to put on the terror watch list. We do know that the vast majority of people on the list, on the Quiet Skies list, have no connection to anyone who has connection to any known terrorist entity. It is a very, very small number that does. And those are people who, by the way, have that connection to someone, and that someone doesn't have enough of a connection yet known to the federal government where they could be put on a terror watch list or actually apprehended. So all these people can continue to fly. They are just doing so with a more burden of their travel. And again, it's happening to Tulsi again today. We'll find out if it happened on her additional flight what happened with the air marshals as well. Because again, a lot of your resources being wasted here. When Tulsi Gabbard got a letter saying you've been cleared, here's the number you use in case you're actually stuck on this program. And she did all of that, and that did not clear her. Support the work of the ACLJ financially. I told you, we need you now during this Life and Liberty drive. We're behind in our donation, so we need your financial support. Donate today, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. We'll be right back. Seculo. As a reminder, when these attacks occur and are focused on Israel, we've got our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, our director, Jeff Balaban, who can join us and update us. And Jeff, another a thank God moment that Israel and its allies were able to thwart. In fact, Hezbollah is actually being mocked in some Arab media because of their so-called attack on Israel that was not successful at all. So what we've seen here is when it comes to these short-range attacks, Israel has got a very effective defense against what Hezbollah has so far decided to utilize against Israel with the backing from Iran.
That's right, Jordan. Really, in Israel, there's a tremendous sense of gratitude both to God and to the IDF at the way this played out. The threat from the north, let's make this clear, the threat from Hezbollah coming out of Lebanon or potentially out of Syria is a threat. We're talking about much greater than what happened on October 7th. We're talking about 60 to 70,000 armed, battle-hardened, battle-trained troops. We're talking about a major invasion. And before that, they were prepared to launch a strike against Israel. And this was only a limited strike. And Israel launched instead a limited preemptive strike, which they're calling in Israel threading the needle. I'm not sure how much that phrase has been heard in America, because they had literally about 15 minutes from the time that all the launchers and all the weapons systems are put into place in order to set the attack on Israel. That's about how long they had to take them out. And the IAF, again, the official numbers, about 100 aircraft or more than 100 air, took to the skies and bombed hundreds or perhaps thousands of targets in a space of just a few minutes, wiped them out, and completely obliterated that attack. Now, Israel's still waiting for potentially other shooter drop. On the other hand, there's a sense that Hezbollah has really been knocked back on its heels after this incredible response by the IAF.
Yeah, there was a major commander from Hezbollah taken out as well, Jeff.
That's right. So and if you look at this on a geopolitical stance, this is yet another in a series of real embarrassments to Iran. Iran is behind all of this. And of course, Iran is strengthened under the Biden-Harris administration by all the money that America is giving them, by all the leeway that it's giving them. And that's what really emboldened them after being really diminished during the Trump administration when you saw peace breaking out in the Middle East. And they want war and they want destruction. And so they've launched these horrific attacks. And the more they threaten greater attacks, the more Israel is responding. And that's also partially related to the unfortunate relationship between a Democrat administration that has demonstrated that it will not have Israel's back and Israel's need to survive. You know, in America, this may be domestic politics for Harris or for Biden. This is completely existential reality in Israel. This is not a political game there. And so they can't afford to. And so all of a sudden, on the ground, what you're seeing, for example, in the north, in Lebanon, the Lebanese civilians have fled. Now, the civilians in Gaza weren't allowed to flee. They were penned in by Hamas and by the Democrats, by the Biden administration, yelling about, you know, Israel can't ethnically cleanse. There was no issue of an ethnic cleansing. They were talking about letting civilians get out of the way. Well, they've gotten out of the way in Lebanon as best they can. And so it's a much greater threat, a more serious and almost existential threat. But the ground is better now because Israel controls the air and the civilians have fled.
Jeff, wanted to bring up an interview that Elizabeth Warren did over the weekend. She was on Meet the Press, and I want to play the clip in a moment. But in context of everything that is still going on in Israel, the war is now approaching quickly a year mark, but we also have a presidential election in the U.S. where there is a very stark contrast between one party that is trying everything they can to flee from support of our ally in the region and the other party that wants to have our allies back. And when you're talking about the situation with how Gaza unfolded and how the Democrats fled from Israel's back with that, you hear what Elizabeth Warren is saying and potentially telegraphing how a Harris administration would play out for the state of Israel. Let's go ahead and play bite two.
And Senator, very quickly, do you believe that Vice President Harris should be conditioning military aid to Israel? Will you counsel her to do that?
Look, I want to be clear. American law already says that we give military aid only to those who are in compliance with international law. What Benjamin Netanyahu has done in creating a humanitarian disaster in Gaza raises questions about compliance with international law. The United States needs to live its values every day.
You know, Jeff, October 7th and the attacks by Hamas, that's what raises real questions about whether or not the laws are being followed, not how Israel has to respond. It's unfortunate. Israel did not want to have to go to war with Hamas in what is a very difficult conflict where you've got hostages, where you've got situations where it is a combat in urban locations, so urban combat, as well as a terror organization that has no problem using women and children as its human shields.
You're 100% right, Jordan. You know, there's a phrase that is gone to the broader public, but it starts in Jewish history. For centuries and centuries, there's a concept called the blood libel, where they would blame the Jews for things. You know, blame the plague in the Middle Ages, and they said, well, the Jews were poisoning the wells. Just make stuff up. You know, Hitler used this all the time. You know, the Jews are the reason that our economy is bad. What I hear Elizabeth Warren, when I hear her speak, these are blood libels, Jordan. This is making a claim that Benjamin Netanyahu is responsible for the humanitarian crisis. The Israelis have done all they can to give the Arabs in Gaza the best life possible. They themselves have determined that what they want to do is live for nothing but to destroy Israel. And Israel has done everything in its power, more than any army, arguably in history, in any conflict, to try and help people and non-combatants out of the way. And it's the Democrats. She talks about living, United States should represent or live its values. It's the Democrats, it's that administration, it's people like her in Congress who have insisted on penning in those civilians, who are insisted on creating the humanitarian crisis. They've created the humanitarian crisis. Israel is just trying to survive. It's
Jeff, final question to you, and this is kind of, you know, the Israeli people did not ask for this conflict. I want to remind people as we get closer to October 7th, there was this horrendous attack by Hamas. Israel had to respond. One, there were hostages taken from a number of countries, not just Israel. So they needed to respond for their allies who would be negotiating hostage releases, hostages that are killed, human shields. And no, they don't want to have to reoccupy Gaza, but they are not going to let a terrorist state like Hamas operate however they like and fire at Israel whenever they want to on their border.
That's right. I mean, that's right. Even the discussion of a ceasefire just means that Israel should surrender to the people who to this moment are saying that they want to commit October 7th over and over and over until they've wiped out all the Jews of Israel. So why aren't we talking about a surrender? Why wouldn't that be the United States position, that Hamas needs to surrender? Even then, Israel would still have to do a lot of work to clean up that area. But we never hear that. Instead, we hear the pressure literally 100% on Israel as though they're the wrongdoers, when in fact, Israel is the victim.
Jeff, we always appreciate your insight here as ACLJ, director of the ACLJ. Jerusalem, and appreciate you joining us today. Folks, we're in the final week of the Life and Liberty Drive. This is the final week we have to get your gifts doubled. Your support couldn't come at a more critical time as we continue to battle the radical left, the ICC and the UN, and on religious liberty around the world, and the attacks on innocent human life. With Israel on the brink of expanding war, we're defending Israel, not just here on a broadcast, but before the ICC and the United Nations. This is exactly what our Life and Liberty Drive was built for. We've submitted FOIA requests and are preparing lawsuits over the targeting of Tulsi Gabbard. I was just meeting with our team, and the flood of new cases coming in, cases that impact your liberty, will require immense resources. We urgently need your support, and we have less than 5 days left in August. Again, it's the final week to have your gift doubled at ACLJ.org. We also just filed, again, a major lawsuit against the government and abortion industry that are smearing pro-life sinners. It's your support that allows us to take legal action against these outrageous attacks, fighting for the radical left's attacks on life and liberty. Keep us in the fight and have your gift doubled today at ACLJ.org. Will, let's take another phone call.
Let's go to Bill calling from Michigan on line one. Bill, you're on Seculo.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say a couple of things. I think Bobby Kennedy joining on Friday, the Trump team, it was epic the way he entered and the mega welcome he got from everybody was incredible. And I think we're watching history there. And I think a Democrat who might possibly endorse Trump would be Joe Manchin from West Virginia.
I think he only would think about doing that if he's running for something. He's not right now.
That's right. And maybe if there was some sort of very similar, like, hey, you could get a cabinet position for Joe Manchin.
To help you with Democrats anywhere else, anywhere but maybe West Virginia.
But in West Virginia, he should have that
70%+ of the vote.
That's right. But that is kind of where your head goes. Who are some of the more moderate Democrats that are not fans of the Harris-style Democrat policies right. that we're going to see unfold. And once again, we're seeing even this from Elizabeth Warren telegraphing what we thought when there was that talk of entertaining a group that wants an arms embargo. Is that where her head could go? And when you have senators like Elizabeth Warren pushing that, could be dangerous for Israel in a Harris administration.
Folks, we urgently need your support, and we've got less than 5 days. Again, it's the final week to have your gifts doubled at ACLJ.org. We need you to make that donation today. We're behind in our fundraising, so we need to catch up. Donate today. Double your impact at ACLJ.org, and thank you. Welcome back to Secular. We will take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me just remind you again. I was just meeting with our team. The flood of new cases coming in, cases that impact your liberty, requires immense resources. And when I say resources, that is not just utilizing people we already have and allowing them to have more resources. It's also about bringing in new attorneys and experts for the ACLJ. So when we are contacted, we always make sure the ACLJ is going to get you the best legal team possible, whether that's internally, working with external attorneys as well, at no cost to you, because we believe in these issues and we believe in the cases that we take. And so do our donors. So do our financial supporters. You are the reason why we can take those cases. You make those donations. You trust us with your financial resources to make the right decisions, to take the right cases into court, whether that's a court of appeals, whether it's a district court and a trial court, whether it's the U.S. Supreme Court. We are there fighting, and right now we have been fighting on this massive fight for life and pro-life pregnancy centers. We've, of course, are been fighting against and for the civil liberties of Americans. And I just encourage you during this final day of our Life and Liberty Drive, final 5 days of our Life and Liberty Drive, make an online donation. Go to aclj.org/and your donations will be doubled. You go to aclj.org/lifeandliberty. Just go to aclj.org and donate right there. Your donation will be doubled. You have midnight until tomorrow night. But I really encourage you for the next 5 days to support the work of the ACLJ. We need your financial support to add to the teams to make sure we are going person for person, mano a mano with the federal government. That is not one or two attorneys. That is an entire team of experts in one legal matter.
All right, I want to play this this bite from RFK. This was on Friday when he announced that he was going to be suspending his campaign. And he gave about a 45-minute speech and talked about many of the issues that drove him to decide to form this unity path forward. But he did call out the media directly. Yeah. And so this is bite 8 from RFK on Friday when he called out some of the journalists in the room. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Representatives of those networks are in this room right now, and I'll just take a moment to ask you to consider the many ways that your institutions have abdicated this really sacred responsibility, the duty of a free press to safeguard democracy and to challenge always the party in power. Instead of maintaining that posture of fierce skepticism toward authority, your institutions have made themselves government mouthpieces and stenographers for the organs of power. you didn't alone cause the devolution of American democracy, but you could have prevented it.
And they didn't prevent it. Will, they've been a part of it. We know that. We've known that through representing President Trump, that even when you're sharing straightforward information, it never got reported that way. There was always something else. There's always some edge to their reporting, some gotcha moment they were trying to do to take down the conservatives. And RFK Jr. has had enough as well. Let's go to the phones.
That's right. Let's go to Linda calling on line two from Michigan. Linda, you're on Seculo.
Thank you. I'm a little perplexed when people keep saying that RFK Jr. has withdrawn from the race. It's my understanding that he's only withdrawn from 10 states, that he remains on the ballot on 40, which doesn't really make sense to me.
He removed himself from the ballot, or is in the process of removing himself from the ballot, from the key states, from the battleground states, the states that will ultimately decide the election. He even said, if you're in one of those heavily blue or heavily red states where I'm on the ballot, you can still vote for me if you want, because those states are not going to be outcome determinative. That means it's very easy for pollsters, for people like us, to look and say, that state is going red, that state is going blue. Now, you, Linda, live in one of those that's right down the middle. So right. You're not going to feel that. You're going to see the full-on onslaught from both campaigns about getting you out to vote for them.
And as well, he, at that moment when he suspended his campaign, had only qualified for about 23. Right. There was another 23 that were in process. So likely, a lot of the other states that haven't necessarily confirmed him on the ballot won't do that. So really, you're only talking about 10 to 13 states where his name will remain on it, the 10 that were the battlegrounds where he's removing his name. So it's actually a much smaller number of states that are potentially going to have him on the ballot than it even seems. And once again, also, it costs money to have your lawyers go make these filings and do those things. So it's also that where you're trying to be prudent with the resources that you have left in a campaign that one was heavily financed by his running mate, Nicole Shanahan. What you do with that money, how you spend it, leaving it on those other states is probably the right call in the grand scheme of things. Let's go to John, who's calling from California on line one. John, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. This is John from Ocala, Florida.
Welcome from Ocala, Florida, John.
Yeah. I guess my comment is, even though Kamala Harris has got her own firewall, that being the mainstream media,
right,
when it comes to one of the major things, border security of this country, I think that Trump, somehow getting through that firewall, has to make this thing personal. If I was him, if I would love to see him, if he can somehow get onto where everybody would hear it, like on a national broadcast, or even maybe an ad, to bring this thing to personal level.
I think you're going to see plenty of that, John. I think, again, we just got done with the conventions. You've just got done hearing some stories of people on the border who are dealing with the negative impacts of the Democrats' policies and the policies that Harris would like to expand on. So again, I think you will hear from them. We are now at that stage of the campaign where secondary and even third level surrogates start to go out and tell their story about why they're supporting someone particularly. And that's just folks that we would consider average, everyday folks trying to make a living, middle class, who can't or are having a tough time because of the Biden-Harris policies.
Let's try to get to one more call before we end the show today. Let's go to Jill calling on line five from California. Jill, you're on Seculo.
Thank you. You guys are great. My concern is that what the Democrats are doing is having two people running for the top level offices that have gotten no votes. And the people haven't voted.
This was their party. So their party said, you can put your name in the hat. We will release our delegates. Those were the bound delegates. Majority of those were for Joe Biden. We'll release those delegates, and we're going to encourage them to vote for Kamala Harris. That does not mean that all of them did, but she has got the delegates necessary, as she already had, to get the nomination, Will. And she did that, and I think, Jill, it's important to note why it's not, some of these other folks who didn't get the VP pick. It would have been a lot different if it was Tulsi Gabbard. Here's why. When you've got all these situations, whether you are Biden and Harris, whether you are Trump and Vance, if you are trying to mobilize people and move your campaign around, you've got to move it around with people who also have an interest. So to take the Biden campaign and somehow give it to, you know, someone other than Kamala Harris would have been giving away hundreds of million dollars in fundraising that they would not have time to fundraise on yet. Let me encourage you to do this. This is fundraising. This is important for the American Center for Law and Justice. On every one of the issues we talked about today, we are working on these issues at the ACLJ. This is not just something we talk about. These are our colleagues, like Tulsi Gabbard, who we are defending in court, who we have breaking this down for you each week on Seculo. We are ready to take that stand, but we need more resources. We are falling behind for this month. Donate today at ACLJ.org.